is about the woman of Canaan. We find in the 21st verse of this chapter that Jesus went unto the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Tyre was a city that was built by the Sidonians. They formed this city, and it was built on an island off the coast. But a city by the same name grew up on the mainland. This city was much greater than the city on the island. We find Nebuchadnezzar coming up against this city and besieging it for 13 years. And he took in this city of Sidon, but the people that dwelt in this city on the coast, they fled to the city on the island. This city prospered for over 200 years. These people were the people that started the maritime commerce. They sailed the seas. They had colonies spread throughout the Mediterranean, and their ships plied these seas and even came to England. They came to England for tin, which was taken out of the mines of a man by the name of Cornwall. But these people likewise were a depraved and an idolatrous race of people. They descended from Sidon, a son of Canaan, who likewise founded the city of Sidon. This city was to the northwest in the land of Canaan. They were the first people to manufacture ships and sail the seas. Likewise, they were the founders of glass. They were a manufacturing city, and they are still to this day called under the name of Zadi. These two cities then were nearby in the land of Canaan. Christ, he did not resort to these two cities, but he went to the territory or the coast of these cities. Christ resorted to the land of Israel for his miracles and for the wonders that he performed. These people then that lived in these cities, they were called Canaanites. They were descendants then of Sidon, the son of Canaan. And we find that when Christ came to this particular territory, there came out of these cities a woman, a Canaanitish woman. She's called in the Gospel of Mark a Syro-Phoenician woman. This was the name given to the country Phoenicia, and therefore she's called also a Greek. In all probabilities, she was of a Greek descendant. And now this woman, she came out of the coast crying unto Christ. She came and stood afar off because she was a Gentile. And Christ had not come for the Gentiles, but he had come for the house of Israel, for the Jewish race. And therefore, she stood afar off, fearing to come near unto him. But lifting up her voice and crying unto him, O Lord, thou son of David, have mercy upon me, for my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. This woman then, she had a case. She had also faith. For we see in these titles that she called Christ that she was a believer in the true Messiah. Back in the land of Canaan, she, being a descendant of the Greek, had probably read the translation of the Hebrew Bible at that time. And following through the scriptures, she had heard much of this wonderful person, Jesus. And confirming with the scriptures that she read, she believed that this was the true Messiah. She then, in and through the scriptures and hearing of Christ, had been wrought upon by the blessed Spirit, and she came crying unto him, O Lord, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. It was not actually for her own personal help that she came, but it was for her daughter. This teaches us likewise that if we have children, sons or daughters, that are afflicted bodily, physically, mentally, or spiritually, and we cry unto the Lord for them, then likewise we desire mercies for ourselves. For truly, our children are part of ourselves. And when we cry to God for them, we desire then that he would show mercy to us and to our children. And this woman crying unto him in this manner, he never even gave notice to what she cried. He turned, as it were, a deaf ear unto her. This was very discouraging for this woman, for truly, she had heard much of this merciful and compassionate Jesus, and that whoever had resorted unto him, he had helped them. And she came crying unto him, and he gave no ear unto her. In all probabilities, she resorted unto the disciples and entreated them to take her case to their master. For we find that the disciples came to Jesus and said unto him, let her go, let her depart from us, for she crieth after us. But these disciples, they had never experienced this yet with Christ as they did now. For those that had always come to him, he had helped, but here, he paid no attention to her cry. In probability, they wanted Christ to send her away for their own sake, for they did not like having this woman crying after them for their own ease, so that they would not attract too much attention. Now, my hearers, this teaches us likewise that if we are in trouble, and we are crying unto the Lord, then we also should apply to the disciples of Jesus Christ, to friends of him who have his ear, who are intimate with him. What a blessing it is if we have friends who we may resort to, who we may explain our case to, and who may take our case with their prayers to the throne of grace. And now Jesus, he answered these disciples with these words, that he was not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This truly was a rebuff and a rebuke unto this woman. She was not of the house of Israel. She was a lost sheep. That is true, but she belonged not to the Israelitish race. And therefore, when he spake in these words, he cut her off. It was as if he said to her, you belong not to the Jewish race. I have been sent only unto them, and therefore I cannot help you. I can only help those that are afflicted and in trouble, who are of the Jewish race. My hearers, this woman, I think, if she had resorted to her natural capacities, she would have said, I could have better stayed home. Instead of coming to him, instead of crying unto him, I could have better went back to my own land. For he did not give ear unto her, and when he did speak, he cut her off. If that was me and you, I think that we would have went back to our own country. We would have said, is this compassionate Jesus? Is this the person I heard so much about that never turned any away that came to him, who cast out the devils out of so many other creatures, and I came to him, and this is what he says to me? I will go back. But this woman, she was being drawn inwardly by the Spirit of God. She did not reason inwardly in this way. But when she heard him say these words, they took such an effect upon her that she came to him and she fell down at his feet and she worshiped him and she said unto him, Lord, help me. As a little child, she lay there and looked up unto him and said, Lord, help me. Wouldn't he help her? Wouldn't he deliver her? Wouldn't he give her a request? Would he turn her down? Had he ever done so? Was it ever known that any that came to him were turned away? Here she lay. Lord, help me. My hearers, what did Jesus do? Jesus answered her and said unto her, it is not meet for me to give or to take the children's bread and give it unto the dogs. These Gentiles, they were called dogs by the Israelites. You know what a dog is. You know the nature of a dog. They are sometimes very obstinate in their barking. They are gluttonous animals, if you ever see them eating. And these dogs, they do bite viciously sometimes. And these dogs that we see around about our streets, sometimes they vomit and they return to their own vomit. This now was what Jesus called this woman. Actually, he didn't call her a dog, but he assumed that where the Israelites called the Gentiles dogs, she would take it up as such. And she did. Oh, my hearers, this was another rebuke and another rebuff that Jesus gave unto this woman. It was as much as to say that he could not take the bread of the children, that is, he could not perform those miracles and those wonders for these Gentiles, the dogs, as he did for the Israelites. And therefore, he could not help her. Oh, this saying, my hearers, was something that probably if you and I had heard it, we would have got up from our knees and we would have left him. We would have run away from him. That is the nature of each and every one of us. Our nature cannot take such rebuffs to be called a dog as she was. Here she was, a poor, helpless woman, a mother seeking help for her daughter. And here she lay at his feet, and he told her that he could not give the bread of the children unto the dogs. Did she reason again with herself? Did she say, what a way to treat me. Here I come, laying at his feet, seeking his help, entreating him for my daughter, and he calls me a dog. know my hearers. She did not have any such reasonings within her. But she took the words of Jesus Christ and she made them an argument. She made them a prayer. She says unto him, truth, Lord, but the dogs also eat of the crumbs that fall from their master's table. She reasoned with him as if to say, Lord, what you say is true. I'm a dog. I'm a Gentile. And this bread that thou dost give unto the children of Israel, these miracles that you do, the ministry that you have been giving unto them, us Gentiles, we cannot expect such things. But Lord, as a dog who lays at the foot of his master's table, eats the crumbs that fall thereof, Lord, I'm only asking for a crumb. I'm not asking for a loaf. I'm only asking to be helped at this present time. Lord, I accept what you say to me, but even these dogs eat of them crumbs. Oh, my hearers, for this woman then, she had strong faith, for inwardly she was saying in herself, I cannot leave him go. He is the only one that can help me. Nobody else can deliver my daughter from the devil that she's possessed with. And he is the only one that can deliver people that are possessed with devils. If I leave him, it's a lost matter. It's a lost case. And we see in this, my hearers, how that faith accepts the most basest of challenges, where sometimes unbelief will take the most blessed promises and call them in question. Oh, when faith, like in this woman, is in exercise, we cannot get low enough. I read of a man in the Psalms by the name of Asaph. He became as a great beast before God. Another psalmist by the name of Agur, he was more brutish than any man. And I read of the Apostle Paul, that he was the least of all saints and was not worthy to be called an apostle. You see, my hearers, when faith is in exercise, a humbling sensation takes place in a person's soul, and they can submit to the word, that they may read, or that Christ may speak unto them, which seem to turn them away from him. And now we have Christ answering this woman and saying unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. All this is what Jesus called great faith. Why was it great faith? For these reasons, my hearers, that she persevered, that she continued, that she went through all the obstacles that come up against her, and that she would not let him go until he had blessed her and given her what she had come for. Just as Jacob wrestled with the angel, so we may see this wrestling faith in this woman, that nothing could chase her away from Jesus Christ. He was the one and the only one that could help her. And therefore, she cleaved to him, and she found that he honored that faith that he had inspired and given unto her as a precious gift. Oh, my hearers, much is spoken about faith in the times in which we live. People have such great and such strong faith. But here we have an example of this faith that Christ called great faith. What was it? In the first place, she cried unto the Lord for mercy. In the second place, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, help me. And in the third place, she accepted that she was but a dog, but that the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from their master's table. From one position to another, she went down. That is what Christ called great feet. And he granted unto her what she desired. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. And what had she desired? She had desired that her daughter would be delivered from this devil that had possession of her. All this had been a burden to this mother. This child, seeing her in that state and in that condition, she probably had taken her to many physicians and tried all sorts of things to get her made well again, but nothing helped. But now, Jesus said, be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. And she was cured. She was healed from that very moment when Jesus spake these words. For she received those words in faith, and she believed it. And she went home, and she found her daughter lying on the bed, fully dispossessed from this devilish spirit which had control over her. All my hearers, you may be sure that mother and daughter rejoiced very greatly in him who had granted unto them their desire. But let us go back to the beginning of our lesson. And we find in there many lessons for each and every one of us. And we find here a Gentile woman, a Canaanitish woman of a depraved and an idolatrous race. We, my hearers, also are Gentiles. And this woman, she read the scriptures. She heard about Jesus Christ. Faith was wrought in her heart to come unto him, to cry unto him. How long have you been hearing the scriptures? We are much greatly blessed, more than these people, much more than this woman, for we have the word of God richly amongst us. And we come under the hearing thereof and under the teaching thereof, and we hear Jesus Christ as much as saying unto us, forsake your sins and leave the world and come unto me. You have been hearing this for years. But has it wrought that in you, what it wrought in this woman? Or has it left you as you are? We see this woman coming to Christ, crying unto him, O Lord, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. Is that your cry? Has the word of God, has the teachings of his word ever been inspired by his spirit and brought you to cry after him? She cried after him. She acknowledged him to be the Messiah, the sent of God, of the seed of David. She had such faith in him. And she cried that she would have mercy for herself and for her daughter. This is what Christ begins in the heart of every one of his elect. They are given to cry for mercy. And I am sure if God has inspired this cry in your soul, then you likewise cry unto him if you are parents, that he may deliver your children from the devil. Not only yourself, but your children will be the object of prayer. Lord, have mercy upon me and upon our children. For we likewise are under the dominion of Satan, of world, and of sin. How many of my hearers have that cry? There may be some of you that have been crying like this for a long time. I can't look into your hearts. There's one that knows your hearts. Is it your cry, Lord, have mercy upon me? And what happened to this woman? She got no answer. It seems that Christ gave her a deaf ear. He didn't listen to her cry, it seems. Has he done that with you? Does it appear unto you as if he's not listening to you, that he don't give you no answer? And what has this done to you, my hearers? Has it made you more urgent? Has it made you more sincere? Has it brought you to the determination that you will not leave him go except he bless you? Or have you went away? Have you said, well, I've cried to him, he won't listen to me, he don't give me no answer, there's no use anymore me crying, he ain't gonna help me, he's not gonna deliver me? All my hearers, these disciples, they cried unto the Lord likewise. Have you done that? Have you mingled with the people of God? Have you explained your case to them? And have you said to them, I've been praying, I've been crying, but I get no answer? And have they likewise brought your case to the Lord and explained it and desired that you would be helped? I wish there was more of this, my hearers, amongst us. Oh, more of bearing one another's burdens. It's a sign and a token of love and affection for each other. How little there is of this in these days in which we live. Oh, if there was more of this, how we would carry each other up to the throne of grace. What united prayers there would ascend up unto heaven. That these disciples, they pleaded with the Lord, that he would either send her away or help her. And my hearers, the Lord Jesus Christ, he spake unto these disciples, and he said unto them, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Have you ever got a reply like that? Have you ever been sitting under the ministry of the word, listening, wondering whether you were one of these lost sheep, or whether Christ was sent into this world for you? And have you ever been brought to that you had to say, no, I'm not one of those lost sheep. I'm a Gentile, just like this woman. She was not of the race of Israel, but she was a lost sheep, for she came to Christ. But you have listened, and you had to reason yourself out. You were not an elect. You were not one of those chosen creatures. Oh, no. It would be an impossibility that you were one of them. You were not then one of these lost sheep. And let me ask you, what happened to you then? Did you get up and run away? Did you go back into the world? Did you start to serve sin again? Did you say farewell to religion? Or did you come like this woman? What did she do? When she was told this, we find her falling at the feet of Jesus, worshiping him and saying unto him, Lord, help me. Have you been brought there, my hearers? Have you fallen at the feet of Jesus? Have you cried like this woman, Lord, help me? It's only a short prayer, few words. Is that your prayer? Do you want to be helped? Do you have need of help? What do you need? I hear someone say, I need help even to pray. That short prayer, I have it on my lips so many times, but I have no true need, no true feeling in my heart for his help. It's mostly here and there, but not here. I need help even to pray this short prayer. Do you need help to be delivered from Satan, from sin, from this world? Are they enemies to you? Are they too powerful for you? Are they too strong? You meet them every day. Continually, they triumph over you. Do you need help to believe? For you cannot believe of yourself. You are so filled with unbelief. Do you fall at his feet and say, Lord, help me to believe? Do you need help to be delivered, to be saved, to be pardoned, to be reconciled? Let me ask you a question. How do you begin today? Do you get on your knees in the morning and say, Lord, help me this day? I'm so weak. I'm so insufficient. I have no power against sin, against the world, against the flesh, against anything that comes up against me. Lord, help me. A short prayer. Oh, I wish every one of you, my hearers, were coming to the Lord with, Lord, help me. Oh, I surely believe that there are many amongst my hearers that have this prayer in their hearts at times. And when they do, then they worship him. They fall at his feet. Their heart goes out in truth and in uprightness. And they say, Lord, help me. They feel they need his help. They feel that if he does not save them, they are lost forever. So this woman, she lay at his feet. Lord, help me. Do you lay there like a little child? Do you look up to heaven and say, Lord, look upon me and help me? Or could I entreat every one of my hearers to begin just praying this short prayer, seeking help from on high? And my hearers, what did the Lord do to her? Did he help her? Did he assist her? Did he give unto her her wish and her desire? No, he said unto her that it was not meet for him to give the bread of the children unto the dogs. I wonder how many of my hearers have been under the ministry of the word, and they've been listening for signs, for tokens, so that they may believe that they are one of the lost sheep of the house of Israel, that they are one of the children of the Lord God Almighty. And as they were listening, they listened. And when these things were brought forward as signs and tokens of the children, they rejected it. They could not believe that they were the children. They reasoned themselves out of the picture. Or there may have been some in my midst who just previously, when we had communion, had been listening to the signs and the tokens necessary for a worthy communicant. And as you listened, you had to say inwardly, no. No, I'm not one of them. That bread is holy bread. That wine is holy wine. That typifies Christ. And oh, I can't come there. I'm not one of those children. It's only for the children. And as you were reasoning in yourself, it may be that these very words that Christ spake to this woman gave to you, that he could not give the bread of the children unto the dogs. And as you heard that, you responded like this woman and said, truth, Lord, that's just what I am. I'm a dog. I'm a sinner. I'm a vile creature. Oh, I'm unworthy, crumb even, that falls from your table. But with that, you have arisen. You have come up. And you have sat down. And the Lord did not only give you a crumb, but he gave you a feast. He gave you a meal. Yea, he kissed you with the kisses of his mouth. He spoke unto you. He encircled you with the arms of his love. Oh, How good, how gracious, how merciful is this Lord Jesus in heaven above for those who know themselves to be but dogs. You ever feel yourself to be like that? Have you ever been brought so low, so humbled, that no matter what they said to you, you could accept it? There wasn't a person on earth that could say to you something that would hurt you, because you were far lower in your own estimation than what they could ever bring out with their mouth. Oh, God humbles his people, my hearers. Oh, this humility is such a wonderful grace. For he raises the humble soul out of the dust. Has he ever done that to you? When you were in the dust, when you were nothing in yourself, and then to find that the Lord Jesus revealed himself unto you? Just like he did to this woman, he said unto this woman, "Oh, great is thy faith." What, you say, is that faith? Being a dog, being vile, being a sinner, being so humble, is that faith? Yes, my hearers, the Lord Jesus says it's great faith. Have you a crumb of it? Have you it, as he says himself, like a mustard seed? It's great, because it comes from a great and a glorious Savior. He is the giver of it. He is the author of it, and he is the finisher of it. He had given it unto this woman. It was wrought in her very soul. And therefore he said, "Great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." Oh, I was thinking about those words. "Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And I started to say to myself, may you follow me. If he said to me, "What wilt thou have me to do to thee? Be it unto thee even as thou wilt," what would you want, my hearers? Oh, wouldn't you want Jesus? Wouldn't you want his precious blood applied to your soul? Wouldn't you want to be washed from all your sins? Wouldn't you want to know that he was your Savior, your Redeemer, or that he came for you, such a lost sheep as you feel yourself to be? Oh, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Oh, what a grant, my hearers. What would you want him to do for you, my hearers? Nothing? You haven't anything for him to do? You don't need him? If he said to you, "Be it unto you even as thou wilt," you wouldn't have anything. You don't want him. What will you do with Jesus? You have no need for him, no desire after him. Oh, how sad, how lamentable is the case of any one of my hearers that is still in that state. Oh, what will Jesus say to you in that great day of accounts, my hearers? He will say to you, "You have heard my word. You have been given the gospel, and it has come to you in and through the ministry thereof. And I have entreated you to return to me. But you said, 'Away with this man. I will not have him to reign over me.'" And then in that day he will say to you, "Go away from me, ye accursed. I have never known you." Would you want him to say that to you? Oh, I pray that not one of you, my hearers, may ever hear this blessed Jesus speaking these words. And this woman, she heard something that no other person heard. She was spoken to as none before and none after. And she persevered. She went through everything through Jesus Christ, and she received what she went for. Oh, I would say to you, the weakest amongst us, oh, persevere, continue on. No matter how many obstacles may come up against it, oh, go through and pray. Son of David,
have mercy upon me. Lord, help me. And I am sure that as he gave this unto this woman, he will grant you your heart's desire. That's all for today, my hearers. Our time is gone. What would you want him to do for you, my hearers? Nothing? You haven't anything for him to do? You don't need him? If he said to you, be it unto you, even as thou wilt, you wouldn't have anything. You don't want him. What will you do with Jesus? You have no need for him, no desire. Oh, how sad, how lamentable is the case of any one of my hearers that is still in that state. Oh, what will Jesus say to you in that great day of accounts, my hearers? He will say to you, you have heard my word. You have been given the gospel, and it has come to you in and through the ministry thereof. And I have entreated you to return to me. But you said, away with this man. I will not have him to reign over me. And then in that day he will say to you, go away from me, ye accursed. I have never known you. Would you want him to say that to you? Oh, I pray that not one of you is my hearers. May ever hear this blessed Jesus speaking these words. This woman, she heard something that no other person heard. She was spoken to as none before and none after. And she persevered. She went through everything to Jesus Christ, and she received what she went for. Oh, I would say to you, the weakest amongst us. Oh, persevere. Continue on. No matter how many obstacles may come up against it, all go through and pray. Son of David, have mercy upon me. Lord, help me. And I am sure that as he gave this unto this woman, he will grant you your heart's desire. That's all.